This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now,
say, could you please give us some good news on the show today? Some good news, because everything seems to be bad. And I said, you know, I was kind of thinking the same thing, but here's what I came up with for good news. Are you ready? We don't get into politics here on the RP show. That's the good news. Homie, don't play that game. That's not what we do.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is, and it's hour two of the program, everybody. And I think we've got the car back up onto the road, out of the ditch. The tow truck came, and we're good. How are you, Darren?
I'm okay.
It's episode number 348 of Canada's Daytime Sports Talk Show. Thanks for sticking with us. We've got Mike Hogan, the voice of the Toronto Argonauts, coming up. And boy, have we got a lot to get to. I feel like we've got just a lot of the same people carrying over from hour one into hour two. But let me just, while we have a minute, re-up on the quick six show topics. Please, Jordan, let's hit it, if you don't mind. And we'll mix in some breaking news as well. Los Angeles Dodgers have won the World Series. They took game 6-3-1 last night. If you want to call it a gaffe by the manager of the Rays taking out his pitcher in the sixth inning with a 1-0 lead, you can call it a gaffe. Stephen A. Smith this morning on First Take on ESPN saying, if that's not the biggest blunder in World Series managing history, give me one bigger. That was from Stephen A. today, okay?
Wow.
And they're saying analytics made him do it. So that leads to point two. How much importance do analytics have in the world of sports? It led to our poll question. Are you on team analytics? And the resounding amount of people are voting for no, they're not on team analytics. I've been using analytics since 2006 when I started my website, rodpeterson.com, coached it to close to 30 million all-time hits. But it never really dictated how I did things. I just wanted to see what time of day people were reading the most, where they were reading from, which articles got the most hits, all that kind of stuff. But it never really changed what I did. It shouldn't change what you do as a manager or a coach. You should use it as a tool. Last night, the skipper allowed the analytics to make the decision for him. And for that, I think it's fireable. Point three, David Braley's legacy. Point four, the SJHL announces its schedule, but with a catch. They're not playing in the regular season unless crowds are going to be above 150 people. Looks to me like a game of chicken with the government. That's what it looks like. I'm not saying it is. That's what it looks like. Point five, I got a lot of reading to do, and it makes me excited. Leading right into Christmas, the James Duthie book, the Nick Kyprios book, the Ken Reed book, and I'm currently reading the Howard Stern, his third book. And point six, week eight NFL notes, which we haven't even got to any of that yet. So to the Braley thing, you can say whatever you want, feel however you want, about Stephen Brunt just blurting out on Fan 960 Radio in Calgary yesterday, the harsh realities of David Braley as the owner in the CFL. Yeah, he owned three teams. You got to read it. 3downnation.com has it right now, but he's basically saying he ran three teams into the ground. So you can call him a hero. You can call him a villain. Brunt's like he's somewhere in between. We all are. It was about 24 hours after David Braley passed away, and maybe Braley's family's furious. I don't know. I spoke with somebody with the Lions a couple of weeks ago. Nobody really saw the Braley passing coming. He'd been sick, but he's also been doing interviews over the summer. So how sick was he, right? You can debate the harshness of Brunt saying those things if you want. And this has to be Mandy that wrote in from Edmonton. And she says, I don't know about negative things people say about others who are not here to defend themselves. That's cowardly and disrespectful. Braley was a businessman. Business isn't for the weak of heart. Nice of you to say that. So dovetailing off that, I don't really care what Braley's friends think about what Stephen Brunt said. I didn't want to be the first to say it. He did. You want to talk about the harshness of pro sports and the coldness of pro sports? Braley's a big reason for that. So why should we turn around now? Was he a nice enough guy? Sure. But lack of loyalty? Being cheap? That's also part of the legacy. So is it being harsh or is it being truthful? You're saying business isn't for the faint of heart. Neither is the media. And as I've realized over the last, well, quite some time, the pen is still mightier than the sword. So further on to what I was saying last hour, and I will spend this entire segment here on where the CFL is going now without David Braley. He's been a permanent fixture since 1988, 89. Things are going to change. You know, that undercurrent of people that I speak with, on as early as Monday, they were saying, how are things going to change in the CFL? How handcuffed were the other CFL owners by David Braley when he owned as much as a quarter of the league? How much was he calling the shots? We don't know. And there are fans writing me saying, how are things going to change? How much will they change? My response has been, we're about to find out. A tremendous amount of time could be spent on the blackout issue. For instance, James Duthie comes on here yesterday. He was around Braley a lot as the host of the CFL on TSN panel for years. Did you get a real warm, fuzzy feeling off Duthie about Braley? I didn't. And the one thing that he said was, we didn't really like Braley's approach on blackouts. He thought that they should blackout games in Vancouver and Toronto, and we in TSN didn't really like that. I believe David Braley would have fit in real great in about 1955 of pro sports ownership. His ways of marketing and running a team were archaic. Bill Wirtz worthy of the Chicago Blackhawks, where they went 50 years in between championships. This might be the longest soliloquy I've gone on ever on this show, and I'm sorry, but I'm passionate about the topic because we've all seen the restraints the CFL's been held to, and we all want to know how much was Braley behind this. Blackouts in those markets may very well have hurt those teams. I would love, and by the way, Braley's not alone. I know other pro sports teams owners that blackout games in their own markets, and I've fought with them. I've been an ally of their staff. They're like, can you go talk to our owner? I'm like, no. You're not changing his mind. You weren't changing Braley's mind. There's something about the golden rule. You know what that is?
He who has the gold
makes the rules. So Braley held all the gold in the CFL for the last 30 years. Now he's gone. And I'm going to just say, sorry if it hurts some feelings. Some people are really excited that maybe things are going to change for the better now.
But he enjoyed being around the seat of the table, right? And I like the line that Brunt had in the article when he was talking to Paul Tagliabue in the NFL. He leans over and whispers, I'm a man of considerable wealth. That line just sticks out to me. But he had the money, and he used it to save the CFL. But did he use it to grow the CFL? I don't know. But I didn't know him that well, right? And it's interesting, you know, seeing the full 360-degree view now and all the reaction to the life of David Braley and his impact on the league.
Massive. And he's going to get the statues and the awards named after him. Don't worry about Braley. He's going to be fine. Mandy in Edmonton goes on to say, I'm furious for the family. Well, Mandy, have we not learned something through here in 2020? Why are you upset for other people? Why don't you just let them be upset for themselves? It's a waste of your emotion and a waste of your time. But if you want to be upset for the family, you go ahead. And somebody says, owners will be owners. That's life. Yeah, unless you work for them. Like, look what the mess the CFL's in right now. And so many people think what they see on their little TV screen or what they read on their website is the truth. And it's not necessarily the truth. Like, for instance, there were teams in the CFL that wanted to play this year. I believe leading the way were the Saskatchewan Roughriders and Winnipeg Blue Bombers. But I can tell you this, if David Braley didn't want to play, they weren't playing. Period. Could you see that?
Yeah.
That's just a feeling that I have from Trent in Norway. Keep the honesty coming, Rod. We will find out what the CFL will become sooner than we think. Keep up the great work. From Chris in Brampton, Ontario. I never witnessed a blackout for the Argos when Braley was the owner. Yeah, that may or may not be the case. It was going on in BC in Braley's time. He didn't own the Argos for nearly as long as he owned the BC Lions.
Because it was over, but the Blackhawks were done by then, right? They weren't a thing anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're going back to Blackhawks.
Well, I'll say here, we're broadcasting out of the heartland of the CFL, Saskatchewan. And I wrote a book on this called Green Magic. And Jim Hobson is quoted in that book about why he lifted the Blackhawks. Remember, there was a time back in the day that the mandate in the CFL was every home game was blacked out. Everyone. And you had to lift two. It was up to the team which two you were going to lift. And for the Riders, it was always Labor Day because we knew we were going to sell out Labor Day. We didn't have to worry about people not buying tickets and staying home. So we got to pick one other game that we'll lift the blackout for. Jim Hobson came in within a year of being the president of the Riders, waved a wand and said, we're lifting all the blackouts. And people are like, are you nuts? Can you imagine all that went over with other owners across the CFL?
Oh, yeah.
And what happened? Sold out the entire season. The only time it's happened before or since was 2007. They sold out every ticket for the whole year because they'd lifted the blackouts in 2006, the year before. What that did was show the entire province of a million people the party that's going on inside that stadium and made people think, I want to be there. That's what it did. So,
I love it.
Braley didn't want to do that in BC early. He thought 180 degrees separate. That's just one example. And I can only assume this is Mandy in Edmonton saying, I am more interested in the CFL's future, not in the past. Well, if you don't spend a minute in learning on the future, or sorry, learning about the past and how we got here, you're not going to have a future. I look at people that come into these offices now of marketing people and branding people and pro sports. And you can call junior hockey basically pro sports because people are making their livelihood from it. And they don't, not only do they not know what went on before they took up that job, they don't care. They don't care how a brand was built for a team. They don't connect with the fans. And look at the absolute mess that they're in right now. Living off the exploits of the people that actually did build that brand. Going on here, hey, Rod, I am proof positive that no blackouts would work. I grew up near Manitoba border and got Rider games for Manitoba TV stations when blacked out in Saskatchewan. But I don't know who that is. Did we not ask people to leave their names here? Where is everybody? Why do I feel like I'm just sitting here talking on my own? Kent Strachan. So he's saying that I am proof positive that no blackouts would work. What is he saying?
He's saying, I think he's saying that blackouts aren't going to work because I'm in because I just went and got the games on a Manitoba channel. Well, you couldn't just do that. I grew up and there was blackouts. We couldn't just go and get the channel somewhere else. We only had the channels that we had. The internet didn't exist.
That's right.
Right?
There's that too.
Now I can hack into any sort of Reddit, whatever you want, and get the stream somewhere else.
John in Winnipeg. John, he says, I'm here. That's all he says. From Rod. Preach. He says, if people don't look at the past, then history will repeat yourself. Rod, preach. Keep talking. We're listening. No, you're not, because you didn't sign your name. Okay, well, thanks. Clark just told me it's Mike Lee. My Dale Mike. Thank you. Keep talking. We're listening. Talk about what? John in Winnipeg says, with today's technology cheats, blackouts won't work. Oh, I know. He's right. I was streaming and stuff. Blackouts wouldn't work. You'd find a way to get the game.
But they do work.
We're going to have to break. But everybody all think that everything's so new. We're battling this technological curve. Guess what? There was a bar in Saskatoon in Market Mall that showed the Rider games. When I lived in Saskatoon, if I couldn't go down to every game, they had a satellite and they were showing the game in 1996. This isn't new. Got in a huge argument with my wife over supper last night. Wait a minute. She might be watching. Discussion. Over this social dilemma and how they're using your technology against you. Oh, you bought from Under Armour online, so the next time you open Facebook, there's an ad for Under Armour. Oh my God, what a bunch of cads. It's no different, I believe, than putting coupons in your mailbox from the store down the street. Come buy at our store.
I come to...
This is not new mentality.
We go to Nashville to go to all the country music bars, and all of a sudden, there's a store selling cowboy boots. They've been doing this for years.
It's none of it's new.
It's called marketing.
And from Mike, sorry, I'm new to this technology.
Fair.
What are you laughing about?
Just a great day.
It's turned into a great day. You might have to shoot me with a tranquilizer dart after, though.
Every day is not going to be amazing. It's definitely not a bad day, even with technical difficulties. It's a day.
A bad day here is better than a good day at the office.
Yes.
Just one more before we break. John, this isn't new, Rod. Bring technology to the CFL. Be super innovative and progressive and aggressive marketing. That part's true. But we'll take a break. We'll just continue all of this talk when we come back. Plus, the voice of the Argos, Mike Hogan. It's the RP Show. You're watching across North America on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for sitting through the break. Dupes riding shotgun here. And we got Mike Hogan coming up. I got a sports update here. Toronto Raptors guard Terrence Davis was arrested in New York City last night after allegedly assaulting his girlfriend. According to an NYPD statement, the victim visited Davis at a hotel in Manhattan. The report says the subject allegedly hit the victim in the face. Davis then allegedly grabbed and broke the victim's phone, according to the statement. Major League Baseball owners will vote Friday to approve the sale of the New York Mets to billionaire hedge fund manager Steve Cohen. According to a person familiar with the situation, the proposed purchase of the 95% of the Mets by an entity of Cohen was already approved by MLB's ownership committee. NASCAR will make a fourth attempt to complete its playoff race at Texas Motor Speedway today after persistent mist and cold temperatures continued the long delay. They've been trying to get it in since Sunday. And this morning, the National Lacrosse League announced their season will be coming back starting the weekend of April 9th to the 11th. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina, for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon, where it is
Wendell Wednesday.
You got it. Nicely, you got your Blades gear on today. I see.
Oh, yeah. Not by accident.
Corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon. See at Wendell's. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, the best you'll ever have. Now with 8 amazing flavors, RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RPSHOW. Order yours now at G2GBars.ca. It'll be interesting to chat with Mike Hogan on this. We got a couple minutes before we bring Hoagie in. Just from our viewers, had a few frosty Red Bulls there, RP. Signed, Caesar. No, I didn't have any Red Bulls today. Somebody said something today, this morning, that triggered me. Somebody here. And I know that you shouldn't be triggered. I tell people not to be triggered, but I was triggered. I'll be telling that person, don't say that again. I might lay hands on them.
Pay-per-view. Coming to pay-per-view.
Can we retain something here, folks? Sign your name to your comments, please. It's part of the reason I'm triggered. How many times have I asked? 20 times? Something's wrong with our Facebook feed that we can't see who writes in. We see the comments, we don't see who they're from. So anyways, honesty is good. Don't remember Harold Ballard being remembered fondly when he passed away in 1990. Well, that's something that I want to get to with Hoagie, because we brought on Matt Baker yesterday for a chat about David Braley, the man. I'd like to get Hoagie's take on David Braley, the man, if he knew him that way. Because I've sat with Wendell Clark and talked about Harold Ballard. He loved Harold Ballard. Tiger Williams loved Harold Ballard. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that love David Braley. But there's something about Braley. Again, I was talking with a Lions staffer just a couple of weeks ago. And they said the second David Braley passes and this team gets handed to his kids, It'll be sold within weeks, months at the latest. The kids have no interest in owning the BC Lions. It's all on David Braley. And I also know this, with on incredibly good authority, that Braley's had that team sold at least once, maybe twice, to people that really badly want it in the Vancouver market. And at the very last minute, they're just about to sign, Braley, you go, boop, yank the string. Do you know why? For the same reason a dog licks his nuts.
Because he can.
Because he can. Just jerking people around. And I'll go one further. There are people, like the Lions are still a big deal in Vancouver. They're a very big deal in Vancouver. And I know one group of developers that want to buy the Lions that have nothing to do with the Canucks at all, the Aquilinis. They want to buy the Lions, buy BC Place from the province, implode it, put up condos, billion-dollar project there, and build a stadium out in Burnaby, outside downtown, and put the Lions there. Everybody wins. Everybody makes money. So Braley was just holding on because he could. From Donna, thanks, Rod, for another great show. Thank you, Donna. Thank you for signing your name. So let's bring in Mike Hogan, the voice of the Toronto Argonauts, and where I became familiar with him, the host of the Bullpen on Fan 590. How you doing, Hoagie?
That's a while ago. You're old.
Well, I love listening to you and Schultzy. You're responsible for breaking that man into broadcasting.
Don't hold that against me. I had to work with a 6'8", 300-pound raw lump of clay, which was a lot of fun and very intimidating.
Of course the screen would freeze today.
Nothing breakable around here.
Yeah, Clark just tells me in the year they'll let us know when they bring him back. Snowman checking in from Carolina. Hey, Brian. Hope you're having a better day in North Carolina than we are up here today.
It's a great Bill Burr skit about that. The dad who's just always angry and he's just on the edge. And he comes home and then you just snap for no reason. Like the wife's there. Tuna casserole against the wall.
Hoagie, we got you now. Sorry, we've had some tech gremlins like crazy. You did. You left us at a lump of clay. That was your last thing.
6'8", 300 pounds. And Schultzy was pretty raw. He didn't like laughing on the air. And the one thing that still is maintained, he really doesn't like to be negative. He always likes to stress the positive. But to see him have the run he did at TSN, and I'm lucky to still have him on our Argo radio broadcast as a partner. That dude just loves football. So he's in good shape right now. And I talked to him this week. He just had his knee scoped. So he's in a good frame of mind right now.
Loves football, knows football. And I talked to him last week and doing some work with NFL alumni last I heard too. So Schultzy's going to be a success no matter what he does. Hoagie, I don't know where we'll go. Can we just start with David Braley? Your history with the man, if you don't mind.
An intense one. I wasn't working for the Argonauts at the time. I was for the Fan and then radio. So I knew David Braley only from arm's length. The handful of times that I came in contact with him, he was exceptionally nice to me. I know that not everybody had the same interim over the years. He was a guy, from what I understand, that if he had something on his mind, he'd let you know about it. And sometimes that was appreciated by people, sometimes not so much. I really knew him as a person because I would just be making stuff up. I didn't know him really at all as a person. But I have so much respect for what he did. He pumped his money into the league. He pumped his money into millions and millions and millions of dollars to the Health Sciences Center and the athletic department there. So as somebody who is passionate about all levels of football in this country, I thank Senator Braley for his contributions. But as a person, it would be unfair for me to comment because I didn't know him.
Did you ever interview him?
I don't think formally. I would talk to him. I would see him at the stadium, kind of get some background information. But I don't know if I ever interviewed him on the air or not. I may have, but if I did, I can't.
You know, it's funny because you talk to people with the Argos from that era, and my friends, Chris Jones, Zach Caleros, obviously, Ricky Ray, although it was, you know, they were homeless, really. They'll look back as some of the greatest times of their life, however, right? Some aren't quite there yet. They're still a little bitter about how it went down. You must hear those stories around there. Those stories don't go away.
Yeah, we cut out for a minute, but the feeling around that team was a very good one. You know, it helps when you win. But at the same time, there was a certainly amount of non-security around the Argonauts in that era. So, you know, I think from an Argonaut perspective, David Braley was a savior for coming in and rescuing the team when nobody else would. He was a large part responsible for getting Sokolowski and Cinnamon involved as owners and even bankrolling them to a degree while he was still in Vancouver, and then picking up the tab afterwards when nobody else would. And there's a lot of negativity around him toward the end of his tenure with Toronto because he slashed things right down to the bare bones before he sold it. So positive and negative. Was there more positive than negative? If it wasn't for David Braley, I don't know where the Argonauts would be, because I don't know what would have happened to them after Cinnamon and Sokolowski.
Do you think the comments by Stephen Brunt on Fan 960 were unfair yesterday?
I don't know. You know, that's Stephen. You know, maybe time and place, because I don't think that Stephen said anything that wasn't talked about by other people. But, you know, Stephen is that guy. I mean, if he's asked a question, he's going to answer it honestly. And David Braley was a very complex guy from all accounts, because he was so good, but so demanding. So, you know, I guess it depends on what side of that line you think was a bigger contribution to the Canadian Football League or detriment. But, you know, he bailed out three markets when they needed it. And I think CFL fans should be very thankful for what he did in Toronto, Hamilton, and Vancouver, although his tenure as owner certainly wasn't perfect.
It's a fantastic, fascinating discussion, I think, and one that will go on for a long time. Hey, but with the Argos, when the CFL does come back, as we have no doubt that it will, Hoagie, you got a bunch of ballers there, right? And some personalities, I might add. Nataya J, Joanne Briscason, Dejan Brissett, John Murphy. It's going to be exciting when we do get back.
No, I agree. And you know, I'm just going to talk about a football perspective, not real life and COVID, which obviously takes priority to anything. But strictly from a football perspective, we're really disappointed the season didn't get off, because we were so excited about what we had done. The players that we acquired through free agency, the players that we drafted, a lot of the players we brought home to the greater Toronto area, and players' personality and who are vibrant in the community. We were really excited to see what this team could do. We wanted to see what Ryan Dinwiddie could do as a head coach. We're excited for that. Glenn Young is a defensive coordinator. Guys were getting their first opportunities in the and it didn't happen. So it's been put off for a year. We're just ready for 2021 now.
The screen froze with the audio continues. What heyday? What did we do to the tech gods? We heard it all. The screen is just frozen, though. What does he need to do, Clark? Okay, so we're going to continue to ask you the questions, Hoagie, even though the screen has frozen. I can hear it again. Yeah, okay. The Argo fan wrote me on Twitter and said how devastated the Argos are. They had to hire Ryan Dinwiddie, and they had to sign Matt Nichols, and you know, this is the state of the franchise. How demoralizing, I thought. What league are you following, man? This is hella exciting, don't you think?
I would agree 100%. I mean, Ryan Dinwiddie was thought of by a lot of people as being that next great coach, and there was always the, oh, he's never been a coordinator, blah, 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 blah. Mike Clemens interviewed him and said, why should we wait? Why can't we have him now as a head coach when he's going to be there eventually anyway? Let him come here. Let him be the head coach for a number of years. If he makes a couple of mistakes, he's going to learn from them, but he's going to be our guy. And if that's, you know, why have to fight for another team to bring him back anyway? Glenn Young, same thing. You know, he's a Toronto guy coming home for Argo, and, you know, a guy that's just a spectacular football fanatic. So we get those guys. Matt Nichols may have been the MVP before he got up. You know, he was that good. So I don't know why people would complain about Nichols and Dinwiddie. We're legitimately excited, and I don't know where the criticism could possibly come from.
I don't either, but, you know, at least the guy has an opinion, but I think he needs to be sold. You know, I get it.
And that's what we wanted to do on the field, Roddy. We wanted to be able to trot out that team, watch this group come together, watch this group of local talent. You know, you look at the hotbeds right now. Quebec's obviously a hotbed for talent. Vancouver area is. But when you look in numbers, in quantity and in quality, it's still that GTA area because we have so many people to draw from. Why not bring those people home? Why not get them immersed into the community where they can live at home all year round and in the off season, as well as working out, get some post-career experience and have friends and family come to the game and just wear that double blue with pride. We were really pumped up about that. And, you know, the way that Pinball put it, he said, we wanted to start bringing people back to the community. And this year in free agency, it just turned out, thankfully, that the people we would have had in mind anyway in terms of talent, for the most part from the Canadians, were from this area anyway. So it's really a win-win situation, and we were just so excited to see what those guys were going to do on the field. This has been an awful year for many, 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 many reasons, and from our perspective, that's just another one of them.
From some of our viewers, Nelson writes in and says, the Argos will make a push in the CFL Sim playoffs. They need a win this week. They may get a bye and host the division final. Mandy in Edmonton says, I remember the breaking news the other day, Rod. You said you can disagree/argue/tease with friends and still be friends. Side note, great comments by Mike Hogan. Yeah, that's why I think I don't fit in anymore working for teams and stations, because people just get too offended all the time. I don't get offended. I don't get hurt. I'm impervious to pain. Sometimes I forget not everybody is that way. Here's a question, Hoagie. As an Argo season ticket holder, are you aware of any plan by MLSC to properly market the team in the GTA? I have seen nothing in the way of promotion.
Well, we don't have games to promote yet, to be honest. When the schedule comes out, get ready for it. That's what we're doing right now. We're getting ready for a couple of things that will be announced in the days and weeks ahead. And you know, it's not like we took the time off during the pandemic. We've been working our rear ends off, maybe even a little harder than we had in years before, preparing for 2021. It's been a lot of work, a little catch-up time, and a little opportunity to get ahead of things. So if you're an Argo fan, stay tuned. We've got some good things coming, starting in the next couple of weeks. You'll find out more as we get closer to Grey Cup.
I'll tell you this, Huggy, it's funny with you saying how excited you guys were to get on the field in 2020. Marc-Olivier Brulette, who you know well, and is now doing Alouettes color, was on here a while back and said, the Alouettes had the most to lose coming back with Kahari Jones, with VA, how excited they were. You could go to every market, Hoagie, and give a reason why that team felt they were hurt the most. Look at the Riders here with Cody Fajardo, player of the year, coach of the year, Craig Dickinson. In Ottawa, the rebuild with Nick Fatty Arbuckle, the new coach, Paul Lapolice. Like, the CFL had some serious mo going coming into 2020, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and I do like the Fatty Arbuckle reference. How old are you, by the way?
I know. I'm a nerd.
No, but every team, you know, it's like every sport and every team. Every team should be excited in the off season. If you came into the opening of a training camp in any league, in any sport, and said, oh boy, did we ever suck in the off season? How are we going to get past all of those defections? I can't believe we didn't sign anybody in free agency of note. Our draft was terrible. Like, can you imagine somebody saying that? The off season is when you rebuild. It's the rebirth of another year for any given team. And, you know, every team should be excited about the year. Every team, I think, could make that argument that we had the most to lose this year because we thought that we had improved. Or in Winnipeg, look, we're right in the middle of our window. We want to go back-to-back. We've got all this momentum. In Saskatchewan, you know, we're all excited to see what Cody can do for another season, and we're ready to contend. And, you know, for Hamilton, you know, this is going to be the year finally. With Hamilton, it wouldn't be, but, you know, that's just an Argo guy talking. But you know what I mean? There's just that excitement around every team in the league. You can do that, and that's what makes sports great, because when a team kicks off the first game of the season, you expect things to be better. We thought that last year, and we ended up 4-14. But, you know, when the season started, we were pretty optimistic about some of the changes that had been made.
Literally, you're right. Every team had a reason. And yeah, you would hope, but it's a small league. You've been with teams.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, well, look at the Blue Jays in your days in talk radio on Fan 590. You went into seasons knowing you didn't have a chance. That's what I'm saying. That's not the case in the CFL with any team.
Exactly. We've seen worst to first happen so many times, and we've seen first to worst happen as well. And, you know, a string of injuries can happen, or a team can stay remarkably healthy and have one or two of those guys that we didn't know a lot about in training camp step up and be those next guys that, you know, TSN every week is focusing on and saying, where did this guy come from? That's what every team hopes for. And, you know, every team has those guys. You know, we signed a lot of guys, you know John Murphy is as well as anyone. Murph is spectacular at finding those unearthed gems. And we were waiting to see which one of two or three or six or seven of those players were going to step up and be impact players this year that, you know, right now for a lot of fans are just names on a page. And that happens with every team every year. And sometimes the teams that finds the most of those guys is the team that lifts the Grey Cup at the end of the year. And every team was waiting to see, were they the team that was going to have those players sort of introduce themselves to the CFL fans over the course of the season.
Guys, can you put up that comment from the fan in Ottawa? Says, I knew for sure my Red Blacks were going to be terrible after the 2019 season. We lost four great players and thought we could start an all-Canadian offensive line, which resulted in disaster. Oh, after the 2018 season, 2019 offseason, that's Colin in Ottawa. We have another one from BC. We have seen worst to first happen in a season. Look at the Lions a few years back. Shoot, look at the Argos in 2017. The nine-month rebuild. My God. That's an exciting thing. The 27 Argos will always be held up as the standard hoagie of the fastest rebuild in CFL history. Change my mind.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, just going back to what Mo Brillat was saying, fantastic in Montreal. I thought last year, you know, going into the season, that Hamilton would probably win the regular season, that we'd finish in second place because Ottawa, and Montreal had some off-season challenges. And look at the season Montreal had last year. I don't think anybody saw that coming, maybe not even Montreal. And they got on a little bit of a roll, and it was a really good season for the Alouettes. And there's no reason that fans in Ottawa, seeing Lapalisse come in and, you know, Arbuckle and some of the other people that they added, couldn't think the same thing. In Toronto, we're 4-14. Do we think we're going to be better? Hell yes. Do we think we're a playoff team? Hell yes. And we're going to think the same thing next year going into 2021. So it's the opportunity for teams to put the money where the mouth is, but there is always that team. And last year, Montreal really surprised me, and good for them for doing it.
Just lastly, Armando Moreno in Mexico says Mexicans have already proven they belong in Major League Baseball. Yesterday, Urias and Gonzalez confirmed it. Soon, Mexicans will prove they belong in the CFL too. That's from our daily viewer in Mexico. He's a global football reporter down there in Mexico, Hoagie. I'll just say this about Murph. Heard from him the other day. You know Chris Jones' nickname for Murph? Press play. Just press play. You get it.
Murph's desk is across from mine. Although he was just getting an office when this whole thing stopped and we were told to stay home and work from home. He was getting his office. It was going to be so much quieter this year with Murph in his own office and not being in the desk across from me. I'd get some work done.
Things to look forward to.
He's awesome.
I want you to unleash him on Toronto Sports Radio, TSN, Sportsnet, whatever, and see those hosts try and squeeze him into a 10-minute window. It's impossible.
Can't be done. I'm not making, and I wrote this in the story, so I'm not speaking out of school. I interviewed him when he took over, kind of, you know, the introduction to John Murphy for Argo fans. I asked him a question, and I forget what the exact time was, but I believe his answer was 19 minutes and 30 seconds.
You asked him how
I'm
he's
doing.
I'm not
making that up. Right? And it was fascinating. If you had the time to listen, it was a remarkable answer. But it was almost 20 minutes long. It might have even been over 20 minutes. And I included the exact time in the article. If you want to learn, listen to Murph. He's an encyclopedia. So You know, he's a hell of a resource. He's great at what he does. And we were really looking forward to seeing the fruits of his labor on the field.
Press play. Hey, we're just, it's on pause right now. We're on pause. Oh, and he's gone. Did they just drop a bomb on BMO Field?
Murph, cut the cord. Murph unplugged it.
Okay, we got it. Yeah, Murph unplugged the cord. Dupe says, okay, Hoagie. Murph, yeah.
Murph was probably phoning. That's what happened there. I was getting a phone call. It was probably Murph.
Right. Okay, Hoagie, thanks for the patience. Thanks for the time. As always, thanks for putting up with me. Stay safe, and I hope we can do it again soon.
Anytime, boys. Daddy Arbuckle.
Look,
nice. 1930s. Come on.
Thank you. That's what I do. Nick Fatty Arbuckle. We'll take a timeout and be back. What a day.
Almost
I would
over.
Say, could it get worse? But you don't say that, because then it does.
Yeah.
It's the RP show. Hoagie saved it. On Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Welcome back. You know, I don't know why we're laughing or smiling.
You know when you're on an airplane and it's just massive turbulence, you're on edge for like a half hour, and you finally coast out of it, and you think you can relax one little bump, and you're right back into that.
I know. I don't know why we're laughing. Wayne in Victoria says it's been a crazy show, but I love the content. Great show as always. Carlos LaGena in Indianapolis watching. He says, even with all the technical hiccups, this has still been a fast 2 hours. Clark came out here in the break and laid down on the couch and said he's not leaving. But he did get up and go back into the dog pound. No, ooh, ooh.
Not fast from my chair.
They didn't sign this, but I'm laughing. Well, John Schmeiser in Kansas City. Man, with all of these technology issues going on today, I better get my tinfoil hat. Somebody says, put Murph on TSN 1050 Overdrive. Would love him to talk over Hayes' requests for him to wrap it up. Hayes is so monotone, he makes Ben Stein seem jovial. Who's Ben Stein?
Win Ben Stein's money? Ben Stein.
Is that the guy from Bueller?
Yes,
Bueller.
Exactly.
That's the guy? What did Mandy at Edmonton say? We're still paying attention, Mandy. Thanks for the content, entertainment, passion, and guests today, Rod and team. Take care, Mandy. See, she makes you think she's leaving, but she's not leaving. Because if we say something she doesn't like, she'll be hanging around to comment on it. Believe me. I know people. I can read people. It's a blessing and a curse. As you're carrying around everybody else's crap. Trust me. There's Ben Stein. Bueller. Nelson.
Okay, class.
Nelson says, the full moon is coming up. Helps today make sense. I know. Is there a full moon? Clearly. Thank you, Nelson, for pointing that all out. It's interesting about the Braley thing with Hoagie, where I'm with Hoagie. He may or may not agree that we see things pretty similarly, but I think that we do. The timing of Brunt's wasn't good. Like, I can just see him going on Fan 960 yesterday, the day after David Braley passes away, and the host going, Stephen, tell us about David Braley. It almost sounded to me like Brunt had a personal issue with him. They're both from the same town, so they probably know each other pretty well. You could have waited a couple more days. But he also didn't lie. How many people have come out and said, I've heard all the same things? I can't personally say anything bad about David Braley. I told you about the visits we had in the lobby of the Hyatt Regency in downtown Vancouver. Good enough guy to me. But on this business of bragging about how much money he had, usually the people that brag about things like that are insecure about something.
Mm-hmm. Flex, weird flex.
Yeah, and I remember a former Ryder chairman, and it doesn't matter his name because we've had a million in my time, but he came back. You'll never guess who he is. But he came back from league meetings one time and said, I said to him, how was it? He goes, oddest thing. David Braley keeps telling me he's got $75 million in his checking account. Why would he say that? Because he wanted you to know. That's why. Most people don't do that.
No, they don't. They don't. It's just, there's a reason. There's a reason behind every action, right? And every behavior. And if he's touting all this money, he wants people to know. But the ones who are really secure in it, they don't say anything, right? They don't worry about flashing the big watches.
I can tell you this morning. I was thinking about this morning. People think I'm broke. And I am hella, I am uber good with that. Uber good with that. People think, oh, you're not in mainstream media. You must be scrambling to pay your bills. How about you keep thinking that? I would far rather have people thinking that.
People also think I'm flush. I run a business, right? We're killing
a startup.
We're killing it.
Well, we are.
But it's a startup, right? I mean, everything's about growing. Everybody's in a different spot. It's not always what it seems.
Katie Lang famously said once, it's better to be rich than famous. Being famous and not rich is a pain in the ass.
Because people think you're rich, and you got to live that lifestyle.
And you do. Right. I'd rather have people not asking me for money because Rod doesn't have any. Perfect. Let's take a break and come back with overtime, okay? Who the hell are we going to put up for Rockstar of the Day candidates today? The Gremlins? Mike Hogan? Mike Richards? That seems like 6 days ago, that interview with Mike Richards.
It does. Man, does it ever.
We'll be right back with overtime. Hang on, everybody. That's the best part. It's the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
We've finally reached overtime, and here's hoping there's a goal early.
I warmed up the car. Let's go. 2 minutes.
The car is running outside. From Caesar, by the way, writes in and says, honestly, who cares what people think, how much money you have? I would rather have people that care about me for who I am, not my wallet. And it's not thick. That's from Caesar. Hey, listen, I don't know specifically what he's referring about with me saying about my own personal finances or David Braley bragging to everybody about how much money he had. You're right on all of it. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks about anything. But if we want to take a detour down the recovery road, we say the worst prison that we live in is our own mind and the fear of what other people think. You've heard that, right? I'm out of that prison. I'm free! I'm Andy. What's his name? From Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, yeah.
I'm free. I'm heading to Ziwantineo. Donna says, I wish. Donna says, might be a crazy techno day, but love that it is back with a great show. Breathe, drop the shoulders, face the rest of the day.
That's one of my greatest vacations ever was to Zihuatanejo.
You went?
Oh, yeah. Ixtapa stayed there in Zihuatanejo, a beautiful little cove and wonderful catamaran. Man, I want to set up shop there for a couple of weeks with the show.
Let's do it.
All right.
One of my closest friends has a place there. I'll stay with him.
Let's do it.
Monty says, get over it, please. Oh, yeah. We're trying.
Not today, Monty. Yeah,
not today, Monty. Don't push our buttons today, Monty. I wanted to go to the text line. Metal Shingle Guy writes in. What? Why are you laughing?
I'm just sitting here waiting. I don't know what's going to trigger the ultimate meltdown. Like one autocorrect mistake or something. But
okay. From Metal Shingle Guy. He says, I was listening to the radio during blackouts. Good times in the garage, referring to the Rough Rider games. Good luck with Nichols lasting a season. Here we are spit-talking in the CFL already about virtual quarterbacks. Jim Wagner sent us a picture of the G2G protein bar. I can't quite make out the flavor. He says, enjoying the show with you guys. Take care, all. That's from Jim Wagner, supporting Great. Our sponsors. So please, I would ask you to do the same. John in Edmonton says, the NLL announced today that they will start their season April 9th. We got the commissioner coming on tomorrow, Nick Sakevich, the commissioner of the National Lacrosse League. That's going to be great. Bob in Grand Prairie says, you're right, Rod. WHL is the best, hands down, including the NHL. That's just my opinion. But I love the Western Hockey League more than any other league for the quality of play. And as you are fond of saying, perfectly imperfect, which was my term.
It's your term.
I don't know who said it. But it says, enjoy the rest of the day, guys. This one is for the history books. It's for the garbage is what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Great job over here keeping the plane in the air. At least we didn't crash. And we'll see the rest of you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain, God willing, on Game Plus TV and Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.